I want you to open your Bible this morning. Before we begin, I want to go with three scriptures. Amen. Open your Bibles. If you got a pencil, I want you to mark them. First of all, in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. Ephesians, chapter 5. And I want you to see verse number 10. If you have verse number 10, I want you to put by verse number 10. I'll wait till you get there because I want you to get there, please. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 21. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 21. That is, the Bible says, prove all things. Didn't say prove something, but prove all things. Prove what is acceptable. I'm sorry. Prove what is acceptable unto the Lord. Prove what is acceptable unto the Lord. Now, let's go to Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse number 21. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 21, and by 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 21, I want you to write 1 John 4:1. 1 John 4:1. There are three scriptures. Ephesians 5:10, 1 Thessalonians 5 and 21, and 1 John 4 and verse 1. And the reason why we're saying that, because guess what? Hebrews 9:27 says, it's appointed man wants to die, and after that comes the judgment day. Amen. We're going to die one day. When we die, John 12:48 says that we're going to be judged according to our works. He that rejected me and received not my words has one to judge him. The words that I've spoken, the same shall judge us in the last days. So if we're going to be judged by the words that's in the book, the Bible, wouldn't it make sense that you prove what is acceptable? Don't it make sense that you prove all things and the whole fast of that, which is what? Good, amen. And then over in 1 John chapter 4, the Bible plainly says here, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirit. That means that what we must do is take this book and we must test it by the spirit, by the word, amen. If you can't find it in the Bible, brother, you can't use it, amen. In relationship to understanding what is the will of God. So let's continue our study this morning. Time is moving on, and we want to begin by talking about this morning, what is worship? Can everybody see that? If you can't see it, got plenty of room up front, amen. Ain't like we got a packed house, amen. So what is worship? What is worship? You know, last week we talked about the church that Jesus built, amen. Matthew 16:18, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. In Ephesians 4:4-4:3, he says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the spirit and the bond of peace, there's one body, there's one church. Ephesians 1:22-23, guess what, folks? Christ is the head of the church, amen. The church that he built, the church that we could read about in the Bible. Prove what is acceptable. Prove all things in the whole fast that was good. So with that in mind, you know that Christ built the church. The next thing we need to know is, why do we come to worship? What is worship? What constitutes worship in your mindset? Romans 12:2, be not conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Go to John 4:24. Let's begin there this morning. I want you to mark John chapter 4 and verse 24, where it says, God is a spirit, amen, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God is a spirit. 1 John 5:8, there are three that bear record in heaven. And they that worship him, that word worship means, look what the word means, it literally means to pay reverence, to adore, to prostrate thyself, to give all glory unto God the Father. That's what we're doing this morning. We're giving all glory. It's not about the preacher. It's not about me. I'm just an instrument that God used. Amen. See, it's not about me. That's why they don't call me reverend. They call me Al. Because Psalm 111:9 says, holy and reverent is his name, amen. See, we need to give reverence to God the Father, amen. I'm a mere man just like you, amen. See, you don't look at the me, you look at the Jesus, who's the author and the finisher of our faith. Too many times, preachers or churches pay more homage to the preacher than to God. Amen. I'm just a mere instrument that I'm blessed to be here this morning, not because I've been so good, but because of God's grace and mercy. Amen. Because we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Amen. But you need to understand, when you come up in here, we're going to give our reverence, our adoration, our glory to God the Father. Amen. But that's what worship is. So if worship is adoration, if reverence is reverence, that word reverence means to respect, to give respect unto God for who God is. Amen. He's Jehovah. Amen. He's the Alpha and the Omega. Amen. That is, that he is God. Amen. That we come on the first day of the week to give reverence. In John 4:24 says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. I want you to write that word down, that Greek word, prokisio, and I may not be saying it right, but that's all right. That is, that you need to go look at that word and to understand what that word, so you can get better reverence, a better adoration, a better praise to God, amen, as we worship God in spirit. That spirit is the Bible, amen. That spirit, James 1:25, is the perfect law of liberty, amen, that leads us to truth. Let me tell you something about the Bible. When you stand in the Bible, you're going to get truth, amen. Because the Bible is immutable. The Bible can't lie. The Bible is not moody. It is the perfect law of liberty. Amen. James 1:25. Sometimes, Quinn, I wake up, I'm moody. Amen. My wife said, good morning. I say, so what? Amen. But with God, whenever God talked to us through his word, he's our friend. Amen. Because what a friend we have in Jesus. Amen. But you must understand what that word mean, P-R-O-S-K-Y-N-E-O, would simply mean to prostrate oneself, to give all homage and all praise and all glory, amen, to Jesus Christ, amen, who is the head of the church, that is, he who is the Alpha and the Omega, that's the reason why we are at worship today, to be able to worship God in spirit and in truth. Now, there are four times of worship. I want you to write that down. Number one, there's vain worship. Vain worship is useless worship. And the reason why it's useless worship, because it's after the tradition of men. The Bible says, prove all things. Well, when you prove it and you go outside the authority of the book, you're basing it on tradition. You're basing it on what men say. But we're not interested in what men say. We're interested in what God say. Amen. And Matthew 15:9 said, but in vain they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of what? Men. Anytime you worship and everything is built around a man, what man say, what man do, that's what called vain worship. Amen. That's useless worship. That's worship that violates spirit and truth. The second worship is what's called ignorant worship. And that's found in the book of Acts chapter 17 and verse 22 and 23. It said, then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill, and he says, you men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are superstitious. And verse 23 says, for as passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to an unknown God. To an unknown God. Wherefore, therefore, you ignorantly worship him, declares I to you. Something that can't be proven, something that's unknown, something that don't have no meaning, brings about ignorant worship. Amen. That's ignorant worship. That is, when you worship the Pope with red shoes on, amen, when the Bible says, look unto Jesus, who's the author and the finisher of our faith, amen. When I grew up as a Catholic, and I prayed to the Hail Mary full of grace. Well, that's ignorant worship, amen. When you put a statue of Mary, or you put a statue of me, and you look more to the statue than you look to Jesus, amen. That's ignorant worship. It's unknown. It can't be found in the book. Amen. See, the third phase is real worship. It's found in the book of Colossians chapter 2 and verse 20 to 23, and this is the conclusion of it. He said, which things have indeed a sure wisdom in real worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in honor to the satisfying of the flesh. Well, that is simply mean that you forget what God's will is and you be more concerned with your will, what you want, how you want it done, versus what God's will is. Do you not know in Ephesians chapter 1, the Bible said it was preordained before the foundation of the earth? Brother Frazier, you mind sitting over there? Yes, sir, because I'm in your way. And I don't want to get in nobody else's way. So it'll be quicker for you to get in that way. Amen. All right. I know you're trying to look around me, and I'm a lot to look around. So I prefer you stay. Quinn, don't shake your head. All right. He's shaking your head. That's right. That's right. All right. What? The truth will set you free. Amen. 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 By the way, so I want you to see what we're doing, but I don't want you to be looking around, you know what I mean? So I want you to see right there. Can you see all right now? All right, good. So you got four kinds of worship. And that last worship is the worship we want, John 4:24, right? God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit, not in truth, not vain, not ignorant, not will, because it's not my will, it's God's will, amen, that we understand what is the will of the Lord. See, like you say, not my way, but God's way. See, if you can't do it my way, hit the highway. No, we're not saying that. We're looking to Jesus, who's the author and the finisher of our faith. That is, and hope you got them now, vain worship, ignorant worship, a will worship. But the worship that we're looking for is the worship that is, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So, with that in mind, you know, we talked about the ecclesia, amen. We call it the call out body. Well, when we come together as the church that Jesus built, amen, on the first day of the week, when the whole church come together in one place, one thing that we must do of the five items of worship is that we must sing. And this morning, I'm going to talk to you about true worship, that is singing. Singing and making melody in our heart to the Lord. That is, hope you write those down, when the whole church come together in one place, and you find that in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 18, 20, and 23, and in 1 Corinthians 14:33, we have an example that this day is the Lord's day, amen, when the church comes together, the whole church come together in one place, that is to worship God in spirit and in truth. And when we come, these are the things that we do. This is what we do. We don't add to, we don't take away from God's word. We sing, Ephesians 5:19, all the scriptures above. We pray, Acts 2:42, 1 Thessalonians 5, and about 20. We lay by in store as we prosper, 1 Corinthians 16:1-2. We partake of the Lord's Supper, not once a month, not once a year, not at nobody's wedding, but we take it every first day of the week. Because the Bible says upon the first day of the week, the disciples came together and they broke bread. And then we study, that's what we're doing right now. So we come together, when the whole church come together in one place, amen. Because you know every week got a first day, amen. And because every week got a first day, the Bible tells us over in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 18, 20, and 33, chapter 14 and verse 33, listen to what I'm saying, that it's your responsibility, it's my responsibility to come, that's the whole church, for unity, that is responsibility that we have one toward another, that we come during this period of time to worship God in spirit and in truth, to do all five items of worship. We sing again, we pray again, we give, we lay by in store, and we celebrate that glorious death, burial, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is so important here. You got to understand what your responsibility is. That's the whole church come together. And like I said in Sunday school this morning, what's more important than worship? What's more important than this day? What's more important than the Lord's day? That's between you and the Lord. You have to make that decision. You have to make that choice. The only thing that I can tell you is what the Word of God is saying in relationship to understanding what is the will of the Lord. Now, let's look at singing. That's the first thing we're going to talk about. Next week, we'll talk about giving. Next week, we'll talk about the Lord's Supper. Next week, we'll talk about praying. Next week, we'll talk about studying until we hit all five items that you and I may have an understanding that we can endeavor to keep the unity of spirit in the bond of peace. Now, go me to Ephesians 5:19. I'm going to slow it down because I want you to go there. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19, singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord. Amen. Speaking to yourself, the psalms and hymns, the spiritual song, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. What do that mean? Why do we sing and make melody in our hearts to the Lord? Well, number one, it shows heart express worship to the Lord as, this is what I'm saying, when the whole church comes together in one, I had to come running. As the whole church come together in one place, that is, that through we singing, what we do, we express heartfelt worship to the Lord as we speak one to another with our voice, as we make melody in our hearts to the Lord. Number two, look at that word kadia. That word heart there, H-E-A-R-D, that's the Greek word, K-R-D-I-A. You know what that word means? It means the thoughts. It means the feelings. It means the mind. That is, that when we sing, like we just got through there singing that song, mansions over hilltop, hilltop over mansion. I got a mansion. See, streets of gold, amen. Did you think about that, amen? That's for me and you, amen. Then we get to heaven, ain't gonna be like that Jack commercial. What did you last eat? Amen. We're gonna be walking around those streets of gold, amen. Am I right? Because we got a mansion up in heaven, amen. Where he's letting out your heart be troubled. So if you look at that word, make a melody in your heart, that is that when we sing, we're thinking about what we're singing, amen. See, we're meditating on what we're singing, amen. Because everybody got to sing. Everyone, we don't have choirs, amen. Because you're not here to be entertained. See, if somebody entertaining you, see, you're not singing, amen. You're not making melody in your heart to the Lord, amen. It's not a thought process, amen. See, you sing and you think about, what a friend we have in Jesus. Amazing grace, how sweet. See, you're thinking. You're just not singing, but you're condemned, amen. You understand what I'm saying? See, you're not humming. See, when you hum, see, you can't think with hum, amen, because ain't nothing to think about. And then no such contrast. See, the heart is spiritual, amen. John 4:24, that's knowledge, amen. See, when you sing with the Spirit, and you sing, that is God's Spirit, and they that worship Him are worshiping in spirit and truth, it's spiritual. But if you use instrumental music, that's physical, amen. See, it got to be an instrument here. It got to be physicality here. Alicia, you remember that lady we studied with? And she said, "Brother, I believe everything you said." And she said, "But," she said, "when y'all get an instrument, when y'all get a piano, call me." And she said, "I'll come and be a member of y'all congregation." And I looked at her sister. I said, "You're on your way straight to hell. Because we'll never get one." You know why we won't get one? Because we won't get one because, number one, we can't prove it, amen. Number two, it violates these principles, amen. We come in with spiritual mouths. We don't come in with physical mouths, amen. And then Ephesians 5:19, look what it says here. That word P-S-A-L-L-O, it means to pluck. It means to twain. But what is to pluck? We pluck the heart, amen. See, we pluck the heartstrings of mankind. Guess what? If that means that we have to pluck an instrument, guess what? You have to have one. You have to have one. Everybody got to have one, amen. And we all going to pluck together, amen. You with me? See, that plucking is the pluck of the heart, the pluck of the mindset, so we can make melody in our heart to the word. See, that's what we got to do. Remember, when you sing, see, don't sing because we try to be different. Don't sing because people say, oh, y'all that church that don't use instruments. I said, no, we that church that make melody in our heart to the Lord. Amen. We that church that sing spiritually. Amen. That we sing and we have feelings. Amen. It's a mindset thing. Am I right? That's what we sing for. Amen. It makes no difference how bad we sound. Well, you listen at the sound, you got the wrong reason. Amen. But it's not the sound, it's the words, amen. It's worship, amen. See, what he's talking about, when he's talking about singing and making melody in our heart to the Lord. Y'all understand that? And the reason why I'm saying that, brother, you can't come up here and worship God in spirit and in truth and when you don't know how to sing right. I'm not talking about altos against sopranos, bass against tenor. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord when we pluck the minds of the heart to gain spiritual knowledge to appreciate the goodness of God. Amen. Amen. And that's the reason why we sing and make melody in our heart to the Lord. And then the next reason why we sing, go to Colossians 3:16. See, once you sing through cardia, through the heart, through the mind, through understanding of what you're singing about, amen. You ever heard a song, you say, and you don't know what they said? Amen. But we're talking about cardia, right? The heart of the mind. Then when we sing, we get understanding. So we can worship God in spirit and in truth. Well, Colossians 3 and verse 16 says that we must teach and admonish in song with grace in the cardia, in the heart, the mindset. See, when you sing, not only do you make melody in your heart to the Lord, that you get understanding, right? That you know what you're doing, amen. But teaching also calls us to teach and encourage. That word admonish means encourage one another in song, utilizing understanding. That's the reason why the whole church got to come together in one place on the first day of the week, so that we can come, so we can be unified, that we may be one, so we can teach one another, so we can encourage one another. Because see, it may have been a bad week, amen. It may have been a tough yesterday. It may have been a difficult Wednesday. But when you come to church, if you can't come to church to be taught and admonished, to be encouraged, why in the world are you here? And that's what we do when we sing. When we sing, we teach, you admonish. It's mindset, brethren. We're not here to be that don't mean nothing to me. Amen. But what do mean to me that when I can go to this book and I can open this book and I can look at a song here when it talks about I'm satisfied. First thing I find myself in, I'm content. With a cottage below, a little silver, a little gold. But in that city where the mansion will shine, I want a gold one. That silver in line. See, I know, brother, that I'm going to heaven in 1 John 5:13. And guess what? Frankly, you know you're going, amen? And you're going to encourage me, and I'm going to encourage you. I told you to move over there because I need you to encourage me, amen? Y'all ain't getting it, amen? That we can teach and admonish in song and cardia in the heart, in the mindset. In the mindset. That we be not conformed, but we be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Look what it says. It says, knows the Holy Spirit purpose through teaching and admonish, to encourage one another in song with grace in the heart. That is, it's spiritual emphasis, amen, versus carnal emphasis. And then let's go to 1 Corinthians 14. That's the third reason why we should sing. 1 Corinthians 14 and beginning in verse 14, Guess what, y'all? It's Christian responsibility. Amen? It's Christian responsibility that we sing and make melody in our hearts to the Lord. Amen. That is, that we teach and admonish one another. That is, in 1 Corinthians 14, the Bible says in verse 14, look what he says here. Everybody there? He said, 1 Corinthians 14:14. It says here, for I pray in an unknown tongue, and my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. Why is it unfruitful? Because it's unknown. Amen? Anything you can't prove that's acceptable, anything that you can't prove that is good, if it can't be tested, it's unknown. Amen? Then he said, what is it then? He said, I will pray with the spirit. That word spirit means the proper attitude. Amen. Mindset. And I will pray with the understanding. He said, also I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding. See, you got to sing with the spirit to have proper understanding. Well, how can you sing with the spirit and have proper understanding if it's not done the way God tells you to do it? Amen. Right. Amen. Or if you don't know how to do it. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Amen. It got to be understanding there. It got to be mindset there. And Droiba Alitali Day. Frazier, what did I say? Amen. John, what did I say? Can you interpret that? Did you get understanding? Amen. But you understand, amazing grace, amen. How sweet the sound, amen. That's understanding, amen, that you get. Why? Because that's in the spirit that gives you understanding. Why? Because you know Colossians 3:16 is to teach, is to admonish. You know Ephesians 5:19, because we make melody in our mindset, amen. That's the reason why we sing. It's not because we can't fold no piano. John Tenney got good credit. We can go buy one tomorrow. Amen. And I believe Sister Courtney might be able to play it. Amen. And since we're going to go that far, you might well get my singers, the Allos Choral. And I want an AGL embroidered on it. You might as well go all the way. Amen. But that's not the reason why. The reason why is we must do things in the spirit. That's the proper attitude, because we can prove that we do it to make melody in our heart to the Lord, right? We teach in amongst, amen. It's Christian responsibility. That is, that we pray with the spirit, we sing with the spirit, so we can have understanding. So when we leave here, not only do we have understanding through preaching, through the Lord's Supper, through singing, through land, buy, and store, but we have understanding by all five items of worship. And guess what it do? It brings joy. Amen. See, when you do all of the above, I'm so happy I don't know what to do. Amen. I'm so happy to see you, Miss Lincoln. I'm so happy to see you in the back. I'm so happy to see you, Sister Carol Taylor. I'm so happy to see all my brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. Because see, when you do it in spirit and you do it understanding, get what, folks? It makes you happy. Amen. I'm so happy. Amen. Amen. I got joy. Amen. Because we done it. When he says, in among you sick, let him pray. Is in among you merry, let him sing songs. Amen. If you want to sing and do it the right way, let's do it the biblical way. Now, let's go a little bit further. I'm about to pass one of these out to everybody. I wanted to give it to you at the end, and you got to open your Bible, okay? And we're going to do a little exercise here. It's time for you to take a test. Amen. He said, if you knew you were going to take a test, you would have stayed at home. But the Bible's going to give you the answers, amen. So you need a Bible and you need a pencil, amen. If somebody got two pencils, share a pencil, amen. Because we want you to write on your paper, write your name on the paper. write the day's date on the paper, right? And the section that you're in is called Jesus section. Amen. Amen. Now, you ain't going to get no credit if you don't write your name on it. I'm just joking. All right, let's go ahead and look at the last part, one more part, and I want you to open your Bible there as we look at this together. Three types of music. All right? We're going to do it in a hurry, brethren. All right? Sean, come up here, bro. Rashawn, come up here. Demetrius, come up here, bro. Please. Bring your Bible with you. Amen. Just come on up. I want y'all to help me out, okay? All right, we're going to slow it down because I want you to get there, all right? All right? John, I want you to start with us, okay? John, I want you to go to Matthew 26, 30. Cheryl, I want you to go to Mark 14, 26. Spear, I want you to go to Acts 16, 26. Frazier, Romans 15, 9, okay? And Maurice, I want you to go to 1 Corinthians 14, 15, all right? And then we're going to start all over. John, Frazier, Sean, Brown, and Spear. Okay? Y'all got it? All right. Let's go. Matthew 26 and verse number 30. It's all right. Let them cry. Babies cry. Amen. Y'all ain't knew it, right? All right. They do cry, don't they? All right. Jesus cried too, amen. I cry all the time, amen. Amen. All right, oh, that's right. Y'all ready? Now, let's go ahead and begin. Y'all ready? Matthew 26, 30. Now, look what it says here. There are three types of music, right? Either you can have a cappella, all right? That's singing only, right? That's what a cappella defines, singing only, without the aid of an instrument, right? Or you can have instrumental music, all right? Good old Kenny G, ain't that right? Have mercy. Have mercy, amen. Don't y'all act like y'all don't know who Kenny G is. Am I right? And they're like a little Kenny G, amen. Shake your head, all right? Don't tell me to go, I got to talk about Kenny G. That's instrumental music without no singing, am I right? Or you can put both of them together, right? You can play and sing, right? All right, three types of music. Either you can sing, you can play, or you can play and sing, right? Now, you know we said prove all things, hold fast that was good, right? Prove was acceptable unto the law, right? Test the spirit, amen. The only way we can do is go to the book, right? Who are you going to believe, the book, or you going to believe what? Man. In vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of what? Men. So all thing I know is go to the book, right? So when we read the scripture, and that line right there, if it say play, right, play. If they sing and play, right, sing and play. If it say sing, right, sing, okay? And we're going to see where we come, how many plays we got, how many sings we got, how many sing and plays we got, all right? Now, the final answer is going to be the word, amen. Amen. If you don't see play, or you don't see sing and play, but I'm not going to answer it for you. The Bible going to answer it, amen. Ain't that fair enough? Because that's what we're going to be held accountable to, amen. Am I right? And so let's go. Who got Matthew 26, 30? What it says?
And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives.
All right. When they had sung, right, S-U-N-G, that song, sing, sang, am I right? It still means sing, amen. When they had sung, it's past tense, am I right? But we're going to say song. Now, you want to say sing? You can write sing, but the Bible says song, and we're going to write song by Matthew 26, 30. It said, when they had went, they sung a hymn, and they went out to what? The Mount of Olives. Amen. Now, who got Mark 14, 26? Read what it said, brother. Wait, whoa. Everybody there? Well, make sure you get there. All right? I'm on time. Mark 14, 26. Everybody there? What it say, Brother Bradley? Uh-huh.
And went out to the Mount of Olives.
Yes, when they had their what?
Sung hymn.
They sung hymns. What you going to put there, y'all? Sung, amen. They write song right there. Don't be hard-headed, amen. Don't you quench the spirit. I don't care what you put there, you ain't going to change it.
Amen.
You're going to say, I ain't writing nothing. I don't care, it's still going to stay there. Amen. Because you can't add to, not take away. That God's word, amen. 14, 26, amen. Am I right? Who got Acts 16 and verse 25? Read what it says.
When they had laid
right, what did Paul and Silas do? Chain a little louder. What did they do? Chain a little louder, brother. Come on now. Come on, say a little louder. Amen. Chain, amen. They sung a song and prayed at midnight. Didn't they not do it? Amen. So what you go right there? Chain. All right. Who got Romans 15, 9? Read what it says.
And that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy.
Uh-huh.
For this cause, I will confess to thee among the Gentiles,
uh-huh.
And sing unto thy name.
And sing unto thy name. If you there, write Matthew 28, 18, that is, by the name of Jesus, amen. See, you sing by the authority of Jesus, amen, that you're going to do. So, he says here, Romans 15, 9, that they sung. Now, let's go a little bit further. 1 Corinthians 14, 15, who got that? Who got it? Come on, bro. Talk up a little loud. Everybody got to hear y'all. Amen. Talk out when you holler at your wife. Bring me some water. Amen. You don't holler and say, bring me some water. When I want Dara, I say, come here. Amen. Well, all right. 1 Corinthians 14, 15. Amen. Don't you get in church and get sedated on me. Come on. 1 Corinthians 14, 15. Y'all there? Read what I say, bro. I will sing, that's that responsibility, and pray with the Spirit that I may have understanding. So write that word right there. Who got Ephesians 5:19? Read it, brother. Hey, everybody get that. Slow it down. I want you to see it. I want you to write it down. See it, because I want you to write it down. Because see, you got to understand, make it melt in your heart, the Lord. Teach and admonish, amen, so that we can have joy, amen. So we can sing with the Spirit, sing with the understanding, but you got to know why, amen. All right, what does it say, John? Ephesians 5:19.
Speak.
Yes, sir.
And spiritual songs.
Mm-hmm. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Write that down right there. What did they do? Sing. Now that's what the early church did. Amen. Ain't no way. We just going by the book. All right. Colossians 3:16. Who got that? Read what it said. Wait, hold on, man. What'd you get there? All right. Go ahead, brother.
Let the word of Christ dwell in you
richly. Yes. Yes.
Singing.
Singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Right there by Colossians 3:16. Who got Hebrews 2:12? Read what I said. Hold on, brother. Once I get there. Get over to Hebrews 2:12. All right? See, I want you to see it. I don't want nobody to read it to you. I want you to see it. Amen. Ain't nothing like seeing it. Amen. Seeing it might make you a believer. Amen. 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 See, see it, amen. Prove all things. Hold fast that was good. Prove, Charles said, what is acceptable unto the Lord. Test the spirit, because there are many spirits out there, amen. We want to find the right spirit, amen. Oh, I know it. Go to the book, amen. Amen. All right, Sean. Read Hebrews. Where are we? Hebrews 2:12. Read.
Saying, I will declare thy name unto my brother.
Mm-hmm.
In the midst of the church.
Mm-hmm.
In the midst of the what?
Church. In the midst of who?
Church.
In the church, we would do what?
Sing.
Sing in the midst of the church, amen. It's not in the midst of home. It's not in the midst of school. But when we come together to worship God in spirit and in what? How much say? Go to James 5:13. All right? I want you everybody to get there. Refer your family to that last revelation. I left it out. You got it? All right, get that for me. James 5:13. What it say?
If any among you afflicted,
yeah.
Let him pray.
Uh-huh.
If any married, let him sing
songs. Uh-huh. All right. What it say? Sing, right? Sing, right? Amen. All right, I left revelation off, and you find it. But this enough, amen. Amen. That we Sing, what is it, brother? What you got? 15:3. Go that in. That way it is. 15:3. Write 15:3 on your sheet. Amen. I know I left it off, Belinda. I just let it off so y'all can find it. 15:3. What it say, Brother Spear?
And they sing the song of Moses.
Yeah. All right, but they do say sing, right? So what I'm saying is, in all cases here that we see here, the Bible says sing, 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 sing. Oh, by the way, did anybody get a play? Did anybody get a play and sing? I just wanted to check. Nope. Did anybody get all sing? Now, if the Bible, what'd you say? All sing, right? So if the Bible say that they all sung, all sung, all sung to make melody in your heart to the Lord, to teach and admonish, to sing with the Spirit, to sing with the understanding, to have joy. What you think we need to do? Sing, amen? Sing, amen? Because if you do it any other way, you're going to disrespect God's authority. You're going to disrespect God's authority. We will respect the silence of God's word and now add to God's word. That is Deuteronomy 4:2, Proverbs 30:6, and Revelation 22, verse 18 and 19. But when we violate God's authority, we see it. And we forfeit the fellowship with God, 2 John 9. Or we open the floodgate to error and apostatize. That is 2 Timothy chapter 3, change that to 3, and verse 16 and 17. That should be a 3. Change that to a 3 on your sheet. Well, you don't have that sheet. But 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 and 17 as a typo. So what I'm saying is, see, we must prove all things, hold fast that that was good. And that's the reason why when you come into a New Testament church, a church that you can read about in the Bible, a church that was founded by Christ, a church that Christ is the head of, a church whereby it's his bride, amen, it's called the Church of Christ, Romans 16:16, it says the Church of Christ salutes you. That's what we do. We sing and make melody in our hearts to the Lord. Now, I'm going to stop. Do you understand? I'm not going to ask you, do you disagree, because it don't matter. And the reason why it don't matter, and I'm not being dogmatic, is the truth. Because you can't change God's word, amen. And what I mean by that, in every case that we saw here, in every case that we saw here, this is proof in the pudding, amen. You can't get no proof of that, amen. Amen. That is, if you're going to worship God in spirit and in truth. Amen. Now, you may say, well, over the book of Revelations, they play harps. You ain't in heaven.
That's right.
Amen. And then the book of Revelation is apocalyptic in nature. Read Revelation 1:1-5. It's through signs and symbols. Amen. The book of Revelation had red horses, white horses, black horses. None of y'all rode that kind of horse up in here. Amen. Am I right? See, it's apocalyptic. That word apocalyptic means through signs and symbols. But you will argue with me, and you may say, well, in heaven, they played horses. Well, when you get there, you play one. But you ain't going to get there if you don't do it the way God tells you to do it down here. Amen. Because you ain't in heaven. Amen.
Right.
Someone say, well, churches do use them. Yeah, that's right. Well, y'all might not know that. You've been watching the news about the poor Pope got his ring crushed and his shoes took. Well, a lot of people don't know this here, but did you not know that the Universal Church started in 606? Well, the Catholic Church wasn't known as the Catholic Church from the beginning. It was called a universal church. But do you know what divided that church? That broke them from Catholic to be named the Catholic Church to the Greek Orthodox? Because before then, they were all called a universal church. In 606, go check it out. Go Google it. It'll tell you what I'm telling you. This is history. It came 570 years too late than when Jesus established his church. That was the first falling away, the Catholic Church, from the church. Well, what happened was, when the Universal Church wanted to bring music in, the Greek Orthodox didn't want it. So they split. One became the Greek Orthodox, and one became the Catholic. They have their pope, and they have their pope. But you go to some very conservative Greek Orthodox churches, even today, that don't use instrumental music. But you know what they divided over? Music. Music. Martin Luther, who started the Lutheran Church. Now, I will give him this credit, who was a Catholic priest. He went and nailed the thesis on the door, the disagreements with the Catholic Church over some issues that they were doing. He begged them not to use instrumental music. He begged them not to name the church after him. But when he died, they named it the Lutherans. And it happened some 1,500 years later. And I ain't go all on to tell you, but that's not important. What's important is the Word of God. Amen. I'm not worried about Martin Luther. I'm not worried about what somebody else is doing. I'm worried about what we're doing. Amen. What I'm doing. That we can prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. Next week we're going to talk about, yes. Well, John. Yes, 1 Thessalonians. Thank you. I'll tell you that. 1 Thessalonians 5. See what happened when a human put it together. Right? All right, first, I'll change them. Okay? All right. There'll be one here today that needs to respond to the invitation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you need to be saved today, if you're here today and you want to be added to the body of Christ, if you're here today, well, 1 Peter 3:21 said, baptism does also now save us. Jesus said, he that believe that is baptized shall be saved. You can be saved today. You can be buried in the water grave of baptism today. Today can be your day. Today can be your baptism. Alicia, I remember one Saturday night, we had a Bible study about 30 years ago. You remember that day? It was cold that day. At midnight, we went to the water. Amen. We buried you in the water grave of baptism. Amen. In Revelation 2:10, you've been not faithful unto death. If you're here today, you want to be saved today. The only way you're going to be saved, you can't join this church. You got to be added. Acts 2:47 said, praising God, having faith with all the people, the Lord do the adding. Nobody can't put you out and nobody can't take you away. The Lord will do the adding. So if you're here today, you want to be a part of this church. You need to be baptized. I had to be baptized. I'll never forget that Thursday when me and my wife were baptized over 30-something years ago. And I was buried on one side of the water. She was buried on the other side of the water. Amen. And we've been our faithful unto them. So if you're here today and you want to be saved today, you got to put Christ on in baptism. Come right now as we stand and we sing.
I can give my life.